We're talking about technology this morning, as we do every Thursday. Today, focus and distraction. You're at work trying to write a proposal, and you're being sucked in by YouTube highlights of Tom Brady's game winner against the Bills, or new pictures of your friend's baby shower on Facebook, or in my case, your Twitter feed, and nothing gets done. It's the curse of the online distraction. Most of us know all about it. Now, there are a series of new applications that act as enforcement mechanisms against that curse. Think of it as kind of automated willpower. They intend to make you less distracted and more productive. Farhad Manju writes about technology for Slate.com and has looked at a number of these new applications in an article for our partner, The New York Times. Also, Tony Wright is the founder and CEO of Rescue Time, a company that makes productivity and analytic tools, the kinds of things we're talking about right now. Hi, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Hello. Thanks a lot.
Tony, let me come right to you. You've got some pretty stunning data to start off with from Rescue Time on how people spend their time, or should I say waste their time, on their computer. What do we know from your data?
Well, I mean, to preface all this, I think it's important to note that this is data from all people who are actually trying to improve their productivity. So I think we can guess that these people are slightly more productive than average. But the big stat that always jumps out at me is that the average instant message user switches to an instant message window 77 times per day. That's the big one. And the other sort of nightmare stat for me is the average user is has about 35 to 38% of their time allocated towards communication apps. That includes email and instant message.
Some of this being what you're supposed to be doing at work, at least according to your boss, and some of this being wasting time.
Right, exactly. And you know, communication is, just because you're getting an email from a coworker doesn't mean it's not wasting time. I think there's a big problem in that we've reduced the incremental cost of communicating with a coworker to zero. You don't have to get up. You don't have to put a stamp on anything. You just press a button, and all of a sudden you're interrupting your coworker. So this is, I think, you know, it's strange. You know, obviously Facebook and YouTube get the big billing, but I think one of the things that saps productivity more than anything else is coworkers interrupting each other when they could just be, you know, letting each other focus and kind of saving up for an actual meeting or a real slightly longer discussion.
So there may be a premium on hand for actually blocking out your coworkers while you're sitting across the office space from them. Well, Farhad Manju of Slate, you installed Rescue Time on your machine as part of your review of a whole bunch of these sort of willpower substitutes. What did you learn about your own computer habits?
I've been using Rescue Time for some time now, and I remember when I first installed it, and then sort of a week later it had monitored my activity, and I took a look at the various graphs that they have. I was very shocked. I mean, as Tony says, you learn a lot about yourself from watching what you do on your computer all day. I noticed that I had been, you know, I'm sort of an online news junkie, and so I had been reading Slate where I work. I remember there was a...
Sure you were. You think your editor's listening.
Slate, the New York Times, basically every other news site you can think of. I had been on there, you know, many, many more hours than I had been actually working per day.
So what you're saying, Farhad, you're saying, though, that Rescue Time on your computer, it was surprising to you. It not only monitors your habits, but spits back to you the evidence. Here's how you're spending your time, Mr. Manju.
Yeah, I've heard that when you try to quit smoking, one of the things they make you do is sort of look at like all your cigarette butts in your ashtray and see, yeah, and sort of feel guilty about it. This is like that. You feel really guilty when you look at all of the evidence of like you're goofing off.
Okay, so that's sort of guilt by automation, letting you know what you've been doing and maybe you're doing the wrong thing. But there's also sort of enforced willpower. Farhad, let me stick with you. You've reviewed a whole bunch of other programs, Leech Block and Freedom, a couple of others that can actually do the willpower for you. They can block these things. How do they work?
Yeah, so the idea is you know, using a program like Rescue Time or just your sense of where you're wasting your time, you figure out kind of the bad websites, the sites where you are likely to sort of get carried away and waste a lot of time. And so, for example, a program like Leech Block, which is an add-on to Firefox, the web browser, you tell it where, you know, you give it a list of sites and you sort of give it a time limit. Say, you know, I want to only be able to check Twitter 5 minutes per hour. And after that 5 minutes is up, it blocks you and you can't go to that site again. And there are various programs like this that you basically tell them where you're not allowed to go, and you tell them, you know, during the time, which times of the day you're not allowed to go, and they stop you.
Tony, right, these things stop me, but then what prevents me? Let's say I block Twitter and I block YouTube and I block Facebook. I know myself. I won't go on those sites, but I will use the time I would have spent on YouTube going to something else that I wasn't going to before, just other websites probably or other ways to waste time, sort of the path of least resistance. How do you prevent alternative time wasting?
You know, that's something we recently, and this is the first time I've told anyone about this, we just soft launched a very similar feature to LeechBlock where you can do this. And that was our frustration, is that maintaining this mammoth list of sites that could be distracting is really, really hard. So what we do is actually block by category, so and or even level of productivity. So we can say, block all distracting sites for X time.
What is the definition of a distracting site?
Well, I mean, that's something that you have the ability to control, but because we're doing this in the cloud and there's a ton of users basically contributing to this list of distracting sites, basically everyone is sort of helping everyone else out, and we have a fairly complete list. So, and obviously, if you work at Twitter, Twitter might not be a distracting site for you, so you might want to take that off the list and kind of whitelist it. But I think the sort of category blocking is a lot more effective than that list, because, right, and I think it's important to note that you don't want to destroy the concept of leisure surfing. There's actually studies that show that leisure surfing is a critical part of productivity, that you need that sort of, you know, couple of minutes of break time to sort of reset your brain and get back on task. You just got to have sort of systems or software that sort of avoids binging is what we want to avoid.
Okay, well, Farhad, let me turn to you. Once you put these enforcement mechanisms on your computer, did they enforce discipline, or did you find yourself getting distracted for things maybe away from the machine?
Yeah, they found that when I had blocked everything, or when that, so, you know, if I had blocked something that I often escape to, like Twitter or Facebook, I found myself, you know, escaping in other ways, like getting up from the computer and taking a walk or eating. I found myself eating a lot of snacks.
So rescue various time leads to obesity. That's the takeaway.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, Tony. No, but it's interesting. You do have the path of least resistance. We maybe spend time one way or wasted another way. Farhad Manju writes about technology for Slate.com. He's written an article for our partner, the New York Times, about a new series of productivity applications for your computer. Tony Wright makes those applications. He's founder and CEO of Rescue Time, a company that makes productivity and analytical tools. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.